Welcome to the Broadway Radio Show. I'm Donald Feltham. And on this episode, we are going to look at Harold Rome's Broadway, because this past week, Concord Theatricals released the revival cast recording of I Can Get It For You Wholesale. It was produced off-Broadway by the Classic Stage Company in 2023, which I saw the production when I was visiting New York in November of 2023. So I saw the all-star cast. It was a fantastic production. Of a show that Harold Rome wrote in the early 1960s, and it underwent some major interesting revisions, which we will talk about later. So I thought it was an opportune time to look at the Broadway career of Harold Rome, kind of an unsung, forgotten composer for Broadway that a lot of people may not really know much about. Rome was born in 1908 in Hartford, Connecticut, to Russian immigrant parents. He attended Yale University, where he studied architecture before entering Yale Law School. To help pay his way through college, he also played piano in local bands and was dabbling in writing music. After graduation, he took a job at the Green Mansions Hotel in the Adirondacks, writing music and lyrics for their season of shows, which proved to be great training and ultimately led him to landing a gig writing the songs for a satirical review show for the International Ladies Garment Workers Union called Pins and Needles. This was a perfect fit for Rome, since he was much more interested in writing songs with a political or social slant rather than typical kind of Tin Pan Alley hit songs. Pins and Needles, which was performed for the entertainment of the Garment Workers Union members, and with them in the cast, actually proved to be such a hit that it moved to Broadway, where it ran an amazing 1,108 performances, which, if you know anything about musicals in the 1930s, which is when this opened in 1937, musicals in the 1930s did not run 1,000 performances. There were so many musicals that opened in the course of a year on Broadway or in the course of a season that running more than 1,000 performances was just unheard of. Anyway, it ran over 1,000 performances and was even performed at the White House for Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt. So we're going to break this look at Harold Rome's Broadway into kind of two sections, because that's sort of how his career evolved. He began writing mostly for musical review shows on Broadway, and then moved into more traditional book musicals, which we will get to shortly. But we're going to start with Pins and Needles from 1937. We're going to hear first a selection from Pins and Needles from Kay Webber and Sonny Skylar, called Sing Me a Song of Social Significance. And then 25 years later, in 1962, Columbia Records did a studio cast recording to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the show, using some wonderful, talented performers. And we're going to hear two selections from that 25th anniversary recording. We're going to hear Nobody Makes a Pass at Me, sung by Barbara Streisand, and then Rosemary June will sing Chain Store Daisy. So here are three selections from Harold Rome's first foray on Broadway, Pins and Needles.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June song. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, time is creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you. Sing me of wars and sing me of breadline. Tell me of front page news. Sing me of strikes and last minute headlines. Dress your observation in syncopation. Sing me a song with social significance. There's nothing else that will do. It must get hot with what is what, or I won't love you. You don't have to croon about blue moon.
What's the matter with the good old tunes?
If you want to make me, you will have to wake me with a brand new style.
What new style?
All you have to do is look around.
Are there any better subjects to be found?
If you must keep singing, have your songs all ringing with things worthwhile.
I'll sing a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I'll get a song that's satirical, putting the mere into miracle. I'll sing a song with social significance. I'll get a tune that will do. It will be packed with social facts.
Then I will love you.
I'll sing of kings and conferences martial, tell you of mills and mines, sing you of courts that aren't impartial.
What's to be done with them? I want it in rhythm.
Sing me a song with social significance. There's nothing else that will do. It must be tense with common sense, or I won't love you.
I want men that I can please, that I can squeeze, that I can tease. Two or three or four or more. What are those fools waiting for? I want love and I want kissing. I want more of what I'm missing. Nobody comes knocking at my front door. What do they think my knocker's for? If they don't come soon, there won't be any more. What can the matter be? I wash my clothes with Lux. My etiquette's the best. I spend my hard-earned bucks on just what the ads suggest. Oh dear, what can the matter be? Nobody makes a piss at me. I'm full of Kellogg's bran. I eat grape nuts on the sly. The date is on the can of the coffee that I buy. Oh dear, what can the matter be? Nobody makes a pass at me. Oh, Beatrice Fairfax, give me the bare facts. How do you make them fall? If you don't save me, the things the Lord gave me never will be any use to me at all. I sprinkle on a dash a fragrance d'amour. The ads say makes men rash, but I guess their smell is poor. Oh dear, what can the matter be? Nobody makes a pass at me. I use Ovaltine and Listerine, Barbasol and Mustirol, Lifebuoy soap and Flint. So why ain't I got it? I use Coca-Cola and Marmola, Crisco, Lesco and Mazola, X-Lax and Bapex. So why ain't I got sex? I use Albaline and Maybelline, Alka-Seltzer, Bromo-Seltzer, Odorono and Sensation. So why ain't I got fascination? My girdles come from Best. The Times it say they're chic, and up above I'm dressed in the brassiere of the week. Oh, oh dear, what can the matter be? Nobody makes a pass at me. I use Pons on my skin. With Rye Crisp I have thinned. I get my culture in. I began Gone with the Wind. Oh dear, what can the matter be? Nobody makes a pass at me. Oh, Dorothy Dix, please show me some tricks, please. I want some men to hold. I want attention and things I can't mention, and I want them all before I get too old. I use Mom every day and Angela's Libelore, but still men stay away. Just like Ivory Soap, I'm 99 and 44, 100% pure. What can the matter be? Nobody makes a pair.
I studied hard and thirsted after knowledge, and often burned the midnight oil so I could get to college. They told me my fine education would help improve my situation. So then I crammed and crammed till I was almost in a coma, and thesised and examined until I got me a diploma. Aha, they said, now comes admission into a very high position. Out I went and looked around, and Macy's is the place I found. I filled my blanks and application and went for my examination. They took my weight and took my height and tapped my chest and tested my sight, examined my head, took prints of my toes, looked at my teeth and up my nose, examined my throat and measured my hips, and even took prints of my fingertips. They made me say ah and told me to grunt, examined my back, examined my front. Then they tested my IQ and asked what I'd like to do. And when that exam was through, what there was to know, Macy's knew. So I got the job. Life is a bitter cup of tea. Now I'm just sales girl 73. I used to be on the daisy chain. Now I'm a chain store daisy. Once they gave me the honor seat, now I stand up with pains in my feet. I used to be on the daisy chain. Now shoppers drive me crazy. I sell smart but thrifty corsets at $350, better grade $469. I sell bras and girdles for Mauds and Myrtles to hold in their plump behind this counter. Once I wrote poems, put folks in tears. Now I write checks for ladies' brassieres. I used to be on the daisy chain. Now I'm a chain store daisy. Oh, yes, madame. Oh, no, madame. I guess, madame, that's so, madame. Of course, madame, that's the very best. Exactly the kind that's worn by Mae West. For you, madame, we do, madame. That's true, madame. In blue, madame, that one is 1974. It ought to be expensive. It's the largest in the store. Once I had a yearning for all higher learning, studied till I made the grade. I pursued my knowledge and finished college. Well, look at the kind of grade I made. I'm selling things to fit the figure. Make the big things small and the small things bigger. I used to be on the daisy chain.
Now, the success of Pins and Needles led Georges Kaufman and Moss Hart, who were very famous writing partners, to ask Harold Rome to work with them on their new show, which was another topical review. This one was called Sing Out the News. The cast featured Hazel Scott and Hiram Sherman, Will Gear, and in her Broadway debut, June Allison, who, of course, would go on to become a big movie star. The show lasted 105 performances, and Rome's most notable song from it would prove to be a song called Franklin D. Roosevelt Jones. And interestingly enough, the song ultimately was plucked out of Sing Out the News and put into a 1944 MGM musical called Babes on Broadway, where it was performed by Judy Garland in, interestingly enough, blackface during a notorious minstrel section of the show. The song was actually first recorded in 1938 by Ella Fitzgerald, who had a big hit with it. So we are going to hear a little bit of Harold Rome singing it himself from one of his later albums, where he sang some selections from some of his early shows. And then we will segue into the Judy Garland version from Babes on Broadway. So here is Franklin D. Roosevelt Jones.
I hear tell there's a stranger in the Jones household. Yes, siree, that's what I am told. I hear tell there's a new arrival 6 days old. Yes, siree, worth his weight in gold. Come right in and meet the sun. Christening's done, time to have some fun. Yes, siree, yes, siree, yes, siree. Yes, siree, yes, siree.
I hear tell there's a stranger in the Jones household. That's what I'm told. I hear tell there's a new arrival 6 days old. Worth is waiting gold. Come right in and meet the sun. Christening's done. Time to have some fun.
Yes, sirree, yes, sirree.
Yes, sirree.
Yes, sirree, yes,
sirree. It's a big holiday everywhere. For the Jones family has a brand new heir. He's a joy heaven sent, and we proudly present Mr. Franklin D. Roosevelt Jones. When he grows up, he never will stray with a name like the one that he's got today. When he walks down the street, folks will say, please, to Mr. Franklin D. Roosevelt Jones. What a smile, and how he shows it. He'll be happy all day long. What a name, I'll bet he knows it. With that handle, how can he go wrong? And the folks in the town all agree, he'll be famous as he can be. How can he be a dud or a stick in the mud when he's Franklin D. Roosevelt Jones? Go to sleep, my baby, and maybe you'll balance the budget by and by. Oh, you're a lucky baby with Franklin D. for your name. Mrs. Jones's baby boy is a welcome resident. Give him a picture up or a toy, he's the future president. When this rascal goes to school, ABCs won't matter. Teach him plain arithmetic and a course of fireside chatter. My friend, plant the home shop.
With Pins and Needles in 1937 and Sing Out the News in 1938, Harold Rome's Broadway career was now fully underway as he continued to work on a variety of review shows with mixed results. He contributed some numbers to a review called Streets of Paris, which had like Carmen Miranda and Abbott and Costello in the cast. He added one song to a musical review show called Star and Garter, which opened in 1942, a song called The Bunny. Then he had a review show all of his own called Let Freedom Sing, which opened in 1942 also, but only lasted 8 performances. It wasn't until 1946, right after World War II, when he had what proved to be a big turning point and a big hit for Harold Rome called Call Me Mister. As I said, World War II had just ended, and the title of the show, Call Me Mister, refers to troops returning to civilian life and no longer wanting to be addressed by their military rank. It had sketches by Arnold Auerbach and a terrific score by Rome, proved to be, as I said, a huge hit, lasting 734 performances. The cast featured Betty Garrett, which is kind of the show that launched her career, made her a star, George S. Irving, Jules Munshin, and Lawrence Winters. And it also showed Rome was growing as a songwriter, a much more mature, fully cohesive score. We're going to hear 3 tracks from Call Me Mister right now. We're going to hear Betty Garrett singing Little Surplus Me. Jules Munshin, Chandler Cowles, and Harry Clark were going to sing Military Life. And then we'll hear Bill Callahan in the cast with the title song from Call Me Mister.
Once this lunchroom was crowded the whole day long, full of laughing and wisecracks and song. Now here I stay, wasting away among the ham and eggs and cereal. look at me, and what do you see? Another piece of surplus war material. I'm just like leftover K-rations, excess war commodity. Nobody shares, nobody cares for little surplus me. I'm just like a munitions dump spot, loaded with old TNT. No one has room, no one goes boom for little surplus me. Yesterday, my life was super special, fighting off GIs galore. But today, there's no one to get fresh, never a woo-woo or anymore. I'm just like a brand new PT boat with no place left to PT. Hey, you in the Pentagon, all the men you sent are gone. Soldiers' pleasure bent are gone. Gee, what are you gonna do with little surplus me? I used to have a major give me the biggest rush. Now he's back at his old job. Knock, 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 it's Fuller Brush. That handsome, dashing captain, a wolf with manners foxy, gone back to his profession. This way, please, don't crowd at the Roxy. That mousy little private who never got my range, I hear is back at his job. President of some sort of institution, the New York Stock Exchange. They make vases of vases from old shell cases. Swords are all plowshares to be. But oh, Mr. Truman, please, no one sends me new men. Please try to be more human, please. See, what are you gonna do with lonely, deserted, unreconverted little surplus me?
There are ads in all the papers, there are signs on every truck with a picture of the soldier's friend, the good old Roger Duck. And it says beneath the picture, kindly treat with great respect the guy upon whose coat lapel this button you detect.
A sentiment very dear to each one here.
But remember what the first columnist, a Greek named Aesop, who lived 2,000 years ago, wrote.
You can't make a nylon pocketbook out of a pig's ear.
Exclamation point, unquote. That's a fact you ought to note.
Take the case of Johnny Jones,
drafted when the war began.
Now returning to civilian life,
a veteran. He was a jerk before he got into the service. He was a jerk and never on the square. He would shoot with loaded dice, loved to peddle stolen ice, sold children reefers in his spare time. But oh, the charm of army life, the touch of discipline and strife. Through the muck and the mire, through the flak and the fire, the military magic did its work. From a foreign shore, he is back once more. Still a jerk. Oh, the service made a hero out of some guys that were bum guys who we knew. They can take a heel and make him over, really, though schlemily through and through. But a miracle's a miracle, and though we sound empirical, believe us, there are limits to even things at Nimitz. Halsey and MacArthur can do. He was a slob before he got into the service. He was a slob, acquaintances would say.
His deportment wasn't nice. He indulged in every vice that plagues the Board of Sanitation. But oh, the charm of army life, the charm of army life, the touch of discipline and strife. Through the mash and the mush, through the crash and the crush, the military magic did its job. With the other men, he's come back again. Changed in many respects. Still a slob.
Da-di-dum, da-di-dum, da-di-dee. Da-di-dum, da-di-dum, da-di-dee. Da-di-dip, da-di-dum, da-di-da-di-da-di-da-di-dum, di-dum. It's a beautiful day, ain't it? So exciting and gay, ain't it? There's a beautiful hue in the beautiful blue. Call me mister, lovely weather we've got, ain't it? Not too cold or too hot, ain't it? There's a beautiful breeze in the beautiful trees. Call me mister, there's a lift in the air. There's a song everywhere. There's a tang and a bang in just living. Da-di-da-di-day, it's a wonderful time, ain't it? All the world is in rhyme, ain't it? It's a beautiful shore from New Jersey to Oregon. Just call me mister. Be so kindly, call me mister. Just call me mister from now on. Da-di-dum, da-di-dum, da-di-dee.
Da-di-dum, da-di-dum. It's a beautiful day, ain't it? So exciting and gay, ain't it? There's a beautiful view in the beautiful blue. Call me mister, lovely weather we've got, ain't it? Not too cold or too hot, ain't it? There's a beautiful breeze in the beautiful trees. Call me mister, there's a lift in the air. There's a song people share. There's a scheme in the dream in the future. Da-di-da-da-da, world's a wonderful place, ain't it? It's a fine human race, ain't it? Folks are so full of charm and a lovely phenomenon. Just call it mister, fix it so they're all called mister. Just call it mister from now on. Da-di-dum, da-di-dum, da-di-dum. Da-di-dum, da-di-dum, da-di-dum. Da-di-dip, da-di-dum, da-di-da-di-da-di-da-di-dum.
Now, in 1948, Rome did try his hand at a book musical that seemed to be a perfect fit for him since it was a political satire, and he was known for writing kind of political satire songs and social satire songs for review shows. But we're going to get to that in a few minutes when we switch over to focusing on the traditional book musicals. But first, let's take a quick look at three musical review shows, all of which opened on Broadway in 1950, that Rome wrote songs for, which would be the final review shows of his career. First up in January of 1950 was a review show called Alive and Kicking, which Rome contributed songs to. There were multiple songwriters on the show. It lasted 46 performances, and the cast included names like Jack Cassidy, Carl Reiner, Gwen Verdon, Jack Cole, and Jack Gilford. For that show, we're going to hear Harold Rome. We're going to hear Harold Rome singing all of these, accompanying himself on piano. We're going to hear him singing Cry Baby. Then from June of 1950 was a bigger hit, Michael Todd's Peep Show, which lasted 278 performances. And we're going to hear Harold Rome singing Pocket Full of Dreams that he wrote for that show. Then we're going to conclude from December of 1950, a review show that Harold Rome wrote the entire score for called Bless You All. It lasted 84 performances and was the first taste of Tony Awards for him. It won the Tony Award for Best Costume Design by Miles White. And it also was a big show because it starred Pearl Bailey. It was one of her first big shows on Broadway. Also in the cast was Jules Munchen and Mary McCarty. And we're going to hear Harold Rome singing Don't Want to Write About the South. So here are from Alive and Kicking, Crybaby from Michael Todd's Peep Show, Pocketful of Dreams, from Bless You All, Don't Want to Write About the South, and they're all performed by the man we are focusing on, Harold Rome.
Why must the songs trio sing all say cheer up? Tell you of rainbows and skies that will clear up. Suppose the world feels repugnant to you. Why should you jump up and hallelujah? Don't mind the blue skies, they'll all turn to gray. A storm will soon drive the sunshine away. Where there is laughter, there soon will be pain. Where there's a rainbow, there must have been rain. Though things are bad, they'll get worse, wait and see. So cry, baby, cry, baby, cry for me. Of the cares and worries that are sure to fret you. Count up the little things that always can upset you. You miss the only train home by just half a minute. You try on last year's dress and find you can't get in it. You put on your last pair of nylons and they run. That fight you had with 10 martinis and they won. You give a cocktail party, no one seems to show up. You bake a cake that makes your rich old uncle throw up. Don't mind the gray skies, they'll all turn to black. The lousy weather will always come back. Where there's a smile, there will soon be a frown. The greenest leaves gotta come tumbling down. Though you feel bad, there'll be more misery. So cry, baby, cry for me. Boo, 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 boo. You lock the car up tight and then you lose the key. You say you're looking awful and your friends agree. That brand new evening gown that you got splashed with ink. That time you dyed your hair, it came out dusty pink. You stand there freezing and 6 buses won't stop for you. You go out shopping and the salesgirls all ignore you. That blind date from New Haven, what an awful cad. That time you thought you'd lost your panties and you had. Don't mind the black skies, they'll all turn to showers. And stormy weather will knock off the flowers. Try to remember when summer is here. Winds of December will soon freeze your ear. Oh, you don't know just how low things can be. So cry, baby, cry, baby, cry for me. Boo, boo, the sad things in life are free.
I'm always singing songs that say I got plenty of nothing, hooray, hooray. Or carefree ballads in which I roar. Got the sun in the moon, in the evening, don't want anything more. I'm always singing songs that sigh, dreams are something no gold can buy. The broad open highway is my way to go, while the guys who write that kind of song keep raking in the dough. No more of this phony baloney. Those sentiments never were mine. I'm gonna reveal how I really feel. Put it right on the line. I'd rather be a rich man with $1 million than a poor man with a pocket full of dreams. Our dreams may have their splendor, but they aren't legal tender. And the automat will not let you drop them in the slot. One thing I know for sure, remember this now, honey. Whether you're rich or poor, it's better to have money. So if you know a millionaire with $100,000, baby, incredible as it seems, I will trade him for my pocket full of dreams. Ah, those dreams. I remember that old gang that used to hang around my father's candy store.
There was Mitch and Mopey Mo, Slippery Jim and Stinky Joe, Dirty Mary, who he'd meet behind the cellar door. There was Fatso, what a rat, hit me with a baseball bat, knocked out all my front teeth, what became of them? There was Poopy Four-Eyed Lou, who he'd beat up black and blue. Last I heard, he was the head of MGM. We'd stroll home from schoolroom halls, writing words upon the walls, beating up the younger kids to hear them cry. Pulling trolleys off the rails, tipping over garbage pails, throwing rocks at sweet old ladies passing by. Oh, the motor cars we stole, and the drunks that we would roll, and the many other carefree childish pranks. Those are my dreams on parade. Do you think that I would trade, ever trade them for all the dough in all the banks? Believe me, you're damn right I would. I'd rather be a rich man with $1 million than a poor man with a pocket full of dreams. A pocket full of money doesn't make the sun less sunny, and the birds sound just as gay, though you've got it stashed away. So there's an income tax, I'll pay it without squawking. Riding in Cadillacs could be as good as walking. So if you know a millionaire with $100,000, baby, incredible as it seems, I will trade him for my pocketbook. Trade him for my pocketbook. Trade him for my pocketbook of dreams. I don't want this books to be sold outside. Ain't gonna write about the South, I ain't gonna, but baby there's gold outside. I'll not mess around with a bit of it, no matter how much it may pay. I'll take all my babies legitimate and have them the regular way. One-headed, I'm not gonna knock, I'm a booster. Kindly tell that to Simon and Schuster. I'm gonna shut my mouth, not write a word about the Southland. Don't wanna be slutty. How are we gonna break the news to Truman Capote? Don't wanna write about the South, I don't wanna, but baby it pays so good. Ain't gonna write about the South, I ain't gonna, they love it in Hollywood. I'd rather not tattle on mother or tell what poor does late at night, or list the quaint habits of brother. I somehow don't think it's polite. Crafty being, I don't wanna make me a fortune sitting watching my kinfolk debauching. I'm gonna shut my mouth, not write a word about the Southland. Down by the Delta, how are we gonna break the news to your daughter Welty? Write about the South, I don't wanna, but baby at least a play. Ain't gonna write about the South, I ain't gonna, what'll Tennessee Williams say? So keep your old mansion and shanty, your family is going to pot. Don't give a damn who's raping auntie. Oh, why, oh, when, oh, with what? New corn cobs, please notify all book reviewers that they'll have one less trip
to the sewers. I'm gonna shut my mouth, not write a word about the Southland. Hey, baby, Southland, say, baby, won't you change your mind? No, 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 no.
So by 1950, Harold Rome was done with Broadway review shows and was now turning his attention to book musicals. And as I mentioned before, we heard from those three review shows from 1950. Harold Rome did try his hand at his first traditional book musical in 1948 with a political satire, which, like I said, would have been a perfect fit for him because that was kind of his specialty. And it was called That's the Ticket, which had a book by the brothers Julius and Philip Epstein, who wrote Casablanca, by the way, and was directed by Jerome Robbins in his first directing gig. It concerns a political party and political bigwigs looking for a candidate to run for president to decide on the gentleman named Lord Alfred, who turns out to be a 1,000-year-old cursed frog who becomes a prince. So it's sort of a really quirky, weird storyline. The show closed out of town, unfortunately, in Philadelphia and never made it to Broadway. But Harold Rome did later recycle some of the tunes and melodies for some of his later shows. And in 2002, Musicals Tonight in New York found the libretto and score and staged it and actually recorded an album. So we're able to actually hear a couple of songs from this failed Harold Rome musical called That's the Ticket. We're going to hear David Stoller and Rita Harvey singing Dost Thou, and Carter Calvert will sing You Never Know What Hit You from That's the Ticket.
When you smile, of course you don't smile often, but I find it a very sweet smile, and...
You have my permission to go on in that vein.
And even though you're 1,000 years old... There's a boyish quality about you that's quite irresistible.
Lady Bat, thou knowest what I think.
What?
The legend is coming true after all.
Oh, no, I wouldn't go so far as to say that.
No madrigal of ancient art, no roundelay can start to sing the song thou bringest to my heart. No nightingale at eventide, no minstrel far and wide can trill the thrill of being by thy side. Dost thou know what thou dost to me? Dost thou walk in splendor like the moon above? Dost thou make me tender when they sing of love? Dost thou leave me beaming with a strange delight? Dost thou keep me dreaming day and night? Dost thou have my promise? Dost thou have my trust? Dost thou make me want to make thee mine, come what must? Thou dost, baby, and how thou dost.
Dost thou look endearing? Dost thou seem a prize? Dost thou keep me cheering, making lovers eyes? Dost thou leave me reeling like a drink of wine? Dost thou give that feeling so divine? Dost thou look enchanting? Dost thou get me fussed? Dost thou leave me panting so I'm just fit to bust? Thou dost, baby, and how thou dost. My cup of happiness brimmeth over.
In my time, a knight, to prove his devotion to the maiden of his choice, would join a crusade, or go in search of the Holy Grail, or perhaps there's someone you dislike, someone I could perhaps kill for you.
Well, I can't think of anyone offhand.
You have but to name him, and I will find a pretext for a quarrel.
You know, I have been courted by many men in many ways, but yours is really the most touching and bloodthirsty.
I love thee. Dost thou?
I dost. Dost thou walk in splendor like the moon above? above. Dost thou make me tender when they sing of love? Dost thou leave me beaming with a strange delight? Dost thou keep me dreaming day and night?
Dost thou have my promise? Dost thou have my trust? Dost thou make me want to make thee mine? Come what must, thou dost, baby, and how thou dost.
Thou dost, baby, and how thou dost. Gossip it all day, from soap operas upon the air. You can get it play by play. You can sing it in your ballads. You can read it in your books. You can sit in air-cooled movies and see just how it looks. But gosh, when love starts cooking, it's not the same as looking. One minute you think you can't be took, the next minute you are tooken. Before you show a sign of dizziness, love has snuck up from behind like a dirty cat and given you the business. Before a cloud first, you can see the dark clouds. They warn you of a storm due from above. And watchdogs in the night will bark before they bite. But you never know what hit you when it's love. One minute you are so debonair and gay. Then you reach for your heart and find with a start it has been stolen away. A taxi blows its horn before it hits you. A pitcher winds up first, then throws the ball. The house dig knocks before he breaks the hotel door. But you never know what hit you at all when you fall in love. Lumbermen yell timber when trees come crashing down from up above. You get a chance at bail before you land in jail, but you never know what hit you when it's love. One minute you're December, as a landlord's eye. Then your heart goes woo-woo, December skidoo. Bang, you're the 4th of July. A golfer driving off upon the fairway yells 4 before he hits you with his ball. There's always a red light, but you never know what hit you at all when you fall in
to make ready. They get a hint, therefore the stork will come. Therefore a friend can sue. He must subpoena you, but you never know what hit you at all. When you fall in love.
So Harold Rome's first two official traditional book Broadway musicals were both with director-producer Joshua Logan, and both were hits. First up was 1952's Wish You Were Here, based on the 1937 play Having a Wonderful Time, about an adult summer camp in the Catskills. The show opened to fairly bad reviews, but the creative team took the unusual step of doing some book revisions after opening night, even. They were helped by the fact that they had also built a real swimming pool into the stage of the Imperial Theater, a real working swimming pool that the cast swam in at the Imperial Theater. And rumor has it that that pool is still under the stage of the Imperial Theater to this very day. Plus, they also had an appearance at on the Ed Sullivan Show Toast of the Town on TV, which those two things helped boost ticket sales. In addition, singer Eddie Fisher recorded the show's title song, which went all the way to number one on the pop charts, turning Wish You Were Here into a hit, which ran 598 performances. It picked up two Tony Awards, by the way, including Featured Actress in a Musical for Sheila Bond. So we're going to hear from Harold Rome's first traditional book musical, which was a hit, as I said, with Joshua Logan. We're going to hear Tony winner Sheila Bond singing Shopping Around. And then we're going to hear, of course, the title song, which I said was a number one hit for Eddie Fisher. But in this case, we're going to hear Jack Cassidy and the Men singing Wish You Were Here.
If you wanna know why I've a roving eye when another cute guy passes there, I just wanna try before I buy the bargains in husbands ready to wear. 'Cause a man isn't like an expensive sweater or department store dress on the rack. If you wrap him up and take him home and then see something better, nobody but nobody will take him back. So I'm shopping around, just looking. Where men are concerned, I'm just shopping around. A girl must compare men for wear and for tear before she buys. If she wants the best, then she just has to test all kinds of merchandise. So while I'm still young, I'm testing. Don't wanna get stung. No, sir, not little me. There's no guarantee on a bridegroom-to-be, so if you want the best to be found, you gotta keep shopping, leisurely shopping, not buying, just shopping around. You don't buy the first pair of shoes from the clerk. You don't buy perfume till you spray it. You don't buy a clock till you're sure it will work. You don't buy a piano till you play it. A new vacuum cleaner may be a sensation, but ladies always get a free trial demonstration. So while there's a chance, I'm sampling. Taking romance in the smorgasbord way. From the last organ note, love is all tabled out, so you must choose the best to be found. That's why I keep shopping, leisurely shopping, not buying.
They're not making the skies as blue this year. Wish you were here, as blue as they used to when you were near. Wish you were here, and the mornings don't seem as new, brand new as they did with you. Wish you were here, wish you were here, wish you were here. Someone's painting the leaves all wrong this year. Wish you were here. And why did the birds change their song this year? Wish you were here. They're not shining the stars as bright. They've stolen the joy from the night. Wish you were here. Wish you were here. Wish you were here. Where is the wonder as each day would start, that sang with the dawn, ran away with my heart? Where is it gone?
Where is it gone? They're not making the skies as blue this year.
Wish you were here.
As blue as they used to when you were near.
Wish you were here.
Seem as new, brand new as they did with you.
Wish you were here, wish you were here,
wish you were here.
Someone's painting the leaves all wrong this year.
Wish you were here.
And why did the birds change their song this year?
Wish you were here. They're not shining the stars as bright.
They've stolen the joy from the night. Wish you were here. Wish you were here.
Wish you.
The Harold Rome and Josh DeLogan partnership produced an even bigger commercial and critical hit with their next show, Fanny, in 1954, based on the trilogy of works by Marcel Pagnol called Marius, Fanny, and César, set in the French port of Marseille. The show is all about love, passion, and secrets. I won't give away any of the plot twists from the musical. And there's also an elderly man's dying wish to go along with it. It gave Florence Henderson, who was in the ensemble of Wish You Were Here, her very first chance to originate a leading role on Broadway as Fanny. Fanny opened in November of 1954 and ran 888 performances, which was quite a substantial run in the 50s. And like I said, turned a profit. It was a big hit. And it picked up the Tony Award for Best Actor in a Musical for Walter Slezak. So two selections from Fanny by Harold Rome. We're going to hear William Tabert with Restless Heart, and then Tony winner Walter Slezak in the cast with Never Too Late for Love.
I see a silver bird that streaks the sky, and off we fly, my heart and I. My restless heart and I see a cloud dance by and fade from view. There we go to, my heart and I. My restless heart and I say to each new ship that sails the bay, restless heart. My restless, 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 restless heart. And I... say to each new ship that sails the bay, are you the one it will be? Have you come at last this golden day to set us free? Take us away. Restless, 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 restless,
love is not a question of age. It's a question of aptitude.
Never too late for love. Though years are flying, one keeps on trying. Autumn gets dressed up to wait for love. Never too late for love. Its tender hunger makes the night younger till you jump for the moon up above. Long winter nights are great for love. Never too late for ooh la la la, ooh la la la. Never too late for love. Any time at all, love may come to call. Knock at your heart and say, do let me in again. Knock, 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 knock. Let's begin again. With ooh-la-la-la, ooh-la-la-la. Never too late for love. Though years are turning, hearts keep on burning. Wise men will slyly tempt fate for love. Never too late for love. It's tender passion, always in fashion, seems to light up the night up above. Over thin ice we skate for love. Never too late for ooh la la la, ooh la la la. Never too late for
next up for Rome was a much bigger assignment, filled with a lot more problems. Destry Rides Again was based on a story by Max Brand, which had already been made into a hit 1939 film starring James Stewart and Marlene Dietrich. For this, David Merrick-produced stage musical version, Andy Griffith and Dolores Gray were cast as the leads, with Michael Kidd as director-choreographer. Lots of big names, big talents, and unfortunately, big egos. Pretty quickly, Gray and Kidd were soon butting heads, leading to a lot of difficulties in getting this show up on its feet. The show opened to mixed to positive reviews, and Rome's score certainly gave both Andy Griffith and Dolores Gray plenty of great songs to work with. They both got Tony nominations for actor and actress in a musical, but it was Kidd who won the show's only Tony Award for his choreography. It closed after more than a year at 472 performances, but unfortunately did not turn a profit. It did, however, launch a national tour with John Raitt and Ann Jeffries, but it was not the big success I think they were hoping for after his last two shows of Wish You Were Here and Fanny, both of which were hits. We're going to hear two selections featuring the two stars from Destry Rides Again. We're going to hear Andy Griffith with Tomorrow Morning and Dolores Gray with Fair Warning from Destry Rides Again.
The trouble with me, as I've come to know, is my thinking machine works kind of slow. Just seems to sit around and wait, and then start to function one day late. Tomorrow morning at 3:30, all the wonderful things will come to me. I could have said and should have said today. Tomorrow morning at 4:30, I'll be thinking up bright remarks galore. I could have made and should have made today. Right now, somehow, I'm dumber than a cow. I find my mind is straying. But tomorrow morning at 5:30, how my noodle will hum and come alive. The way I'll talk will take your breath away. As I say what I could have said and what I should have said right here today. See, tomorrow morning I'll say to myself, Tom Destry, why couldn't you speak out to all those nice folks? Oh, back where I come from, we're all kind of soft-spoken, at a loss for words, you might say. I'll just give you a sample of how we pass the time of day with our buddies back home. Why, there's Two-Faced Joe, 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 you crock-headed, grass-bellied, maverick, liver-jellied, squealing prairie dog, how be you? Well, you prune-picking, sheep-dipping, spike-weaning, tail-clipping, stepson of a hog, glad to see you. You never did no beating a bull's foot. Well, you half-brained rattlesnake's twin, still dead as dust from the hoof straight up, and ugly as galvanized sin. You're a real sight for sore eyes, Joe. Why, there's Slippery Sam, hey Sam! Well, you leaky-faced, foul-smelling, paperback, saddle-selling, bottom-dealing sneak, hidey-buddy, hidey. Well, you pot-gutted, loop-dragging, flea-bitten, tongue-wagging, fiddle-footed freak, what's new, friend? Your head still so hollow that you echo. Now that smile shines the flies all the way. And I can tell that you still do smell like hell on house cleaning day. It's a real pleasure running into you, Sam. Why, there's Cactus Jack. Hey, Jack, Jack. Well, you cow milking, job leaving, bear hugging, mother grieving, chicken kicking punk. Howdy, buddy, howdy. You still callous from patting your own back. Now there's a face no mother could stand. When the Lord poured your brains in with a teaspoon, somebody sure joggled his hand. Oh, it's grand to see you, Jack. Grand to see you. Now, why can't I think of things like that to say right now? But tomorrow morning before I get up, I'll talk to myself and you'd be amazed at the things I'll think as I say what I could have said and what I should have said right here and now today.
I might as well tell you before we begin, you're playing a gamble that you'll never win. I give you fair warning, please keep it in mind. Friend, try to remember that I'm not the kind to care for ties that bind. Sooner or later I leave them far behind. When fickle fancy calls me that I've got to go, my heart's as free as any silver clouds that blow. No earthly use in holding me, for now you know. Fair warning, fair warning. When fickle fancy tells me time to travel on, I'll be a memory before you know I'm gone. You'll find I'm not the kind to build your hopes upon. Fair warning, fair warning. I'm free, free, free as the evening breeze, changeable as the sky. I go, go, go when and where I please, never there to say goodbye. Good Lord made me with an ever-roving heart. I never linger till love's magic falls apart. I'll trade November's embers for an April start, and maybe stay till May, till fickle fancy calls me away. Fair warning, when my heart tells me go, I've got to go. I'm built that way. Get that wandering yen, that urge again. I'm built that way. Fresh fields beyond the hills with open arms are beckoning. I can't stay for the reckoning. Goodbye, so long, good day. Good Lord made me with an ever-roving heart. I never linger till love's magic falls apart. I'll trade November's embers for an April start, and maybe stay till May, till fickle fancy calls me away. Fair warning, fair warning, fair warning, fair warning.
So we just heard two selections from 1959's Destry Rides Again. And it would be 1962 before Harold Rome would be back on Broadway with I Can Get It For You Wholesale. But we're going to skip that because we're going to focus a little bit more in detail on Wholesale because of the new revival cast recording, which we're going to talk about. But we'll do that after we finish talking about two more traditional book musicals. His final Broadway score would be for a show called The Zulu and the Zeta, which is sometimes described as a comedy play with music. It was written by Howard Da Silva and Felix Leon and directed by Dori Sherry, based on a story by Dan Jacobson about a Jewish grandfather who moves from London to South Africa. His family hires a Zulu as a companion for him, thus the title of the show, The Zulu and the Zeta. The show tackles cultural, racial, and religious prejudices and was really perfect for Rome to work on, actually. He was familiar with the Zeta concept because of his own Jewish background. And he was also, interestingly enough, very familiar with African culture because he had been a collector of African art since 1939, eventually bringing together one of the most important collections of African art in the world. He was a major collector of African art. Additionally, he was intrigued with African music, and the score is a fantastic combination of both African and Jewish cultures. The Zulu and the Zeta opened in 1965, in November of 1965, and ran 179 performances, featuring Menashe Skolnick, as the Zeta, with Louis Gossett Jr. as the Zulu, along with Ossie Davis and Yaphet Kotto. The show, like I said, only around 179 performances, does have a wonderful cast recording. You should check it out because it's, like I said, really interesting mix of musical styles. And it's a terrific cast recording and a very interesting score for what would be Harold Rome's final Broadway score. We're going to hear Menashe Skolnick with Rivers of Tears, and then Peter DeAnda and Christine Spencer will sing Like the Breeze Blows from The Zulu and the Zeta.
If there is no darkness, then where is the light? If there are no shadows, what corner is bright? How can people climb up with nowhere to fall? Who is the giant if all men are tall? Lulululululu, and that's the way of the world. God and his wisdom, the way of the world. Lulululululu, that's the way that it is, and rivers of tears cannot change it. Rivers and rivers of tears. If we had no weak man, then who would be strong? Without room for quiet, how could there be song? How can hearts be mended if they never break? With sleep for no one, then how do we wake? Lulululululu, and that's the way of the world. God and His wisdom, and the way of the world. Lulululululu, and that's the way that it is. And rivers of tears cannot change it. Rivers. And rivers of tears. With no dust beneath us, which way is the sky? Who knows what the truth is with nothing alive? If there are no strangers, then who is a friend? Where is beginning if there is no end? Lulululululu, that's the way of the world. God and His wisdom, the way of the world. Lulululululu, that's the way that it is. And rivers of tears cannot change it. Rivers and rivers of tears.
From turning, you can't stop a dream in the hearts of men from growing. In the hearts of men all over the world, from growing, 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 growing. Like the breeze blows, it will come. Like the sun burns, it will. Like the days go by and the tide must turn. You can't stop a dream in the hearts of men from growing. In the hearts of men all over the world, from growing, 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 growing.
You can't stop the rain descending, the stars from glowing. Men from growing.
Now, The Zulu and the Zeta was Harold Rome's final Broadway musical, but it wasn't his final musical. His final musical would be a stage adaptation of Margaret Mitchell's Gone with the Wind. It had originated in Tokyo in 1970 as Scarlet, under the guidance of director Joe Layton and musical director Lehman Engel, along with, of course, Harold Rome, whose work was translated into Japanese. The first English language production with a new book by Horton Foote was in London's West End, produced by Harold Fielding in 1972. And although the Tokyo production ran hours and hours and hours, and although they attempted to trim the show's length for the West End, it still ran almost 4 hours long. This version starred Harve Presnell and June Ritchie as Rhett Butler and Scarlett O'Hara. The reviews were mixed, but Fielding was confident that it would be ready to open on Broadway, and he set a Broadway opening date for April of 1974. The next stop for the show was Los Angeles in August of 1973, with a newly revised version of the book. That time it starred Leslie Ann Warren as Scarlett and Pernell Roberts as Rhett. The reviews this time were overwhelmingly negative, and major changes were made prior to the next stop for the show in San Francisco, but the reviews continued to be pretty bad, and Fielding canceled the planned Broadway opening. In 1976, there was another production of the show under different people in Dallas, Texas, but that also, after stops in a couple of other cities, that also failed to make it anywhere to Broadway, and the show was basically considered dead at that point. But we did get a cast recording of the original London production in 1972 with Harve Presnell and June Ritchie. So we're going to hear two songs from that right now. So you're going to get to hear Harold Rome's work on Gone with the Wind. So here is Harve Presnell as Rhett Butler singing Two of a Kind, and June Ritchie as Scarlett O'Hara singing Which Way is Home from Gone with the Wind.
We're so alike, you and I. Easy to see we are two of a kind. Tough, hard as nails, you and I. Renegades both, plainly two of a kind. And though now you may play hard to get, someday you could change your mind. Then when you need love's sweet song, I might just happen along. Join in a tune the world soon won't forget. A mad, bright, delightful, wild, quite unrefined duet for two of a kind. Get. Someday you could change your mind. When there's that gleam in your eye, I might just be passing by. Join in a tune the world soon won't forget. A frantic romance with joy unrefined duet for two of a kind.
helpless I wait. It's late, it's late. Which way is home? Searching, but no one's there. Running from what to where? Echoes that die repeat my cry. Which way is home? Which way? Nightmare land of nameless sorrow, with no promise of tomorrow. Like a lost child there I roam and cry in vain. Which way? Somewhere far from the storm, there shelter safe and warm. Someone I need to hold me tight, keep out the cold and hungry night. Take me there, leave me never, or I'll be lost forever. Wandering through the misty plain, haunted by ghosts of fog and rain, trying to call but all in vain. As God is my witness, the Yankees aren't gonna lick me. I'm gonna live through this, and when it's over, I'm never gonna be hungry again. If I have to steal or kill, as God is my witness, I'm never gonna go hungry again.
Okay. Now we can go back a little bit and let's chat about I Can Get It Free Wholesale, which opened in March of 1962 on Broadway and ran 300 performances. We're going to chat now about it because Concord Theatrical Records has just this past week released the cast recording of the 2023 Classic Stage Company revival of the show. The musical has a book by Jerome Wideman based on his 1937 novel, which was his very first novel at the age of 22, which was amazing. The original version was directed by Arthur Lawrence, produced by David Merrick, and choreographed by Herbert Ross. Starred Elliot Gould, Lillian Roth, Marilyn Cooper, Harold Lang, Sherry North, Jack Crucian, and Barbara Streisand in her Broadway debut. It's set in the 1930s New York garment industry and tells the story of Harry Bogan. He's an ambitious and ultimately unscrupulous young businessman who will lie, cheat, and steal to find success. Harry is definitely an unlikable scoundrel to have as a leading man in a musical. But in a change from the original novel, they did try to redeem him by the end of the stage musical. But Wholesale had the misfortune of opening just a few months after How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying on Broadway, which also had kind of a unscrupulous scoundrel as its leading man. But J. Pierpont Finch was much more lovable than Harry Bogan, and Wholesale opened to very mixed reviews and still ran 300 performances, but still was considered a flop, did not return its investment. The show has had a couple of off-Broadway revivals since 1962, but it's never really clicked with audiences, mostly because Harry is so unlikable and the book has never really quite worked. So it's been due for a re-examination, and that's just what the Classic Stage Company set about to do when they revived it in 2023. And who better to do that than John Wideman, son of the original author, Jerome Wideman, Now, if John Wideman sounds familiar, he should. He wrote the books for Pacific Overture, Assassins, Big, and Contact, as well as the revised version of Anything Goes. For this new production of Wholesale, he went back to his father's original novel. He reinstated the much more downbeat ending where Harry is never redeemed. He moved some of the songs around. For example, Miss Marmalstein moves from Act 2 to Act 1. He worked with the Harold Rome Estate to look at songs that were cut from the show originally and put them back in. There was some new scenes added and gave the whole show a bit different tone. I think the idea was that audiences in 1962, even though shows like Pal Joey had anti-heroes as the lead, audiences in 1962 just still could not empathize with someone like Harry and could not get behind the show, whereas audiences in 2023 we're much more used to having a lead character in a show who you could understand better and could feel a little bit of sympathy for, at least have a better understanding of what was driving him. And you didn't have to necessarily like your leading man. Plus the fact that they cast Santino Fontana as Harry in this production, Tony winner Santino Fontana, who can pull this off because he's so charming. I saw the production, and he's so amazingly charming and charismatic on stage that you understand how he gets away with it, but he also can pull off the deviousness of on stage, and you can see that he might have that in him to kind of screw over his business partner and cheat on his girlfriend and be kind of a schmuck. And that's what he is in the musical. So we're going to hear some selections from the original cast recording. So we'll hear those first. We are going to hear Marilyn Cooper and Elliot Gould singing When Gemini Meets Capricorn. Then we will hear the Tony nominee from the show as featured actress in the musical, Barbara Streisand, singing Miss Marmalstein.
Common sense says no, it could not be so.
But a great many folks keep track. Every single day, what astrologers say goes on in the zodiac.
Common sense says no.
Why be con or pro? Keep an open mind, don't choose. It's kind of fun to half believe it. What's a person got to lose?
What's a person got to lose? When Gemini meets Capricorn on her way from the IRT, could be coincidence,
could be astrology. When Capricorn meets Gemini right across from the Grand Concourse,
could be an accident,
could be some heavenly force.
Did the planets planet, or was it chance? Hey, you stars over the Bronx, did you know the whole deal in advance?
No, all the while,
how they both would smile,
how they both would stop, feel their hearts go clump, clump, clump.
When Gemini met Capricorn on 183rd,
relishing every word they found to say, could be the whole event was an accident,
could be foretold in their horoscope plain as day.
Could be the whole
Marmalstein.
Miss Marmalstein.
Miss Marmalstein.
Miss Marmalstein.
Miss Marmalstein.
Miss Marmalstein.
All the girls get called by their first names right away. They get cozy into May. Do you know what I mean? Nobody calls me, hey baby doll.
Miss Marmalstein.
Or honey dear.
Miss Marmalstein.
Or sweetie pie.
Miss Marmalstein.
Even my first name would be preferable. Though it's terrible, it might be better. It's Yetta. Or perhaps my second name, that's Tessie. Spelled T-E-S-S-Y-E. But no, no, it's always Miss Marmalstein.
Miss Marmalstein?
You think at least Miss M they could try.
Miss Marmalstein?
Miss Marmalstein?
Miss Marmalstein?
Miss Marmalstein?
Miss Marmalstein?
Oh, I could die. I'm a very willing secretary. Enjoy my work as my employer will corroborate. Except for one disappointment, one fly in the ointment. It's great, I mean simply great. But the aggravation of my situation, I might as well get it off my chest, is the Trump appellation. Pardon the big words I apply, but I was an English major at CCNY. The Trump appellation with which I am persistently addressed. Persistently, perpetually, continually, inevitably addressed. Believe me, it could drive a person positively psychosomatic. Why is it always Miss Marmalstein?
Miss Marmalstein.
Miss Marmalstein.
Miss Marmalstein.
Miss Marmalstein. Other girls get called by their nicknames right away. Slightly naughty or risque, do you know what I mean? Nobody calls me Coochie Coo or Bubbla.
Miss Marmalstein.
Or Passion Pie. Even Hey There Babe, though not respectable, ain't so objectable. It's kind of crummy, but chummy. Course, if I got married, that would do it. So where's the lucky guy? Huh? Till then, it still is Miss Marmalstein.
Miss Marmalstein.
Every day I get more and more fussed.
Miss Marmalstein.
Miss Marmalstein.
Miss Marmalstein.
Miss Marmalstein.
Miss Marmalstein.
Oh, I could.
So you just heard two selections from the original Broadway cast recording of I Can Get It For You Wholesale. We heard Elliot Gould and Marilyn Cooper with When Gemini Meets Capricorn, and of course Barbara Streisand with Miss Marmalstein. And one of the funny stories about that is that Columbia Records wanted to get the cast recording rights for Wholesale so much that and Harold Rome was such a big supporter of Barbara Streisand. He loved her when they saw her audition, that in order for Columbia to get it, supposedly the story that Goddard Lieberson was in charge of the cast recordings at Columbia at the time, was the producer of the recordings. And supposedly he said that Harold Rome, kind of one of the conditions for Columbia getting it was that Columbia had to sign Barbara Streisand to a recording contract in order to get the Wholesale cast recording. And so they did. And her first album on Columbia came out 2 months after the Wholesale cast recording. Plus, they had to agree to let her sing on the Pins and Needles 25th anniversary studio recording, which we heard selections from at the beginning of the show. We heard her singing one of the songs on that also. And that also was because of Harold Rome, because he was such a big supporter of Streisand at the beginning. Anyway, we're now going to hear some selections from the new recording, which I hope you will rush out and purchase the digital version from Concord Theatricals, because it's terrific, because you get to hear some interesting changes in the show. For example, there's a whole new scene for Harry's mistress and his girlfriend using two songs that were written but unused, which we are going to hear right now, as a medley. It's Grab Them While I Can and Love Is Not Enough, sung by the mistress, played by Joy Woods, and the girlfriend, played by Rebecca Naomi Jones. Then there's a song in the show Which is not new for the show, called What's in It for Me, which is a scene between Teddy and Martha, Martha being the kind of the mistress of Harry. And interestingly enough, in the original version, the person asking the question, what's in it for me, which leads into the song, is originally asked by Teddy. But in the new version, it's flipped so that now Martha, the mistress, is asking Teddy, what's in it for me? So it's sort of they flipped who's singing what and who's actually asking the question, what's in it for me? So we're going to hear Joy Woods and Greg Hildreth as Martha and Teddy asking, what's in it for me? So here are two selections from the brand new cast recording of I Can Get It Free Wholesale.
Let's get one thing very, very clear. Wedding bells from him I'll never hear. So why should I keep wishing for a fish I'll never land? Whatever he may pant and ask for, it won't be my hand. He won't be marching slowly down the aisle for me, or wear that shy, expectant bridegroom smile for me. And when love calls, Niagara Falls won't see us there. I'll never wear that diamond solitaire. So since I'll never own the goose, the only useful plan is keep him laying golden eggs and grab them while I can.
Memo to Harry Bogan, Esquire, President, Apex Modes, Inc., April 16th, 1938. Dear Sir, we've been dealing with your firm for quite a while. We've come to like your line and product and your style. It's quite extra special, much to be admired. But dear Sir, the service leaves a lot to be desired. Lacks that certain personal attention, lacks that certain touch of warmth and care. So for reasons too obvious to mention, please accept our deep regrets. We are clearing up our debts and taking our business elsewhere.
He'll never introduce his kin or folks to me, or casually tell married people's jokes to me. I'll never hear him whisper, dear, please name the day, or toss away that goddamn bride's bouquet.
Goodbye, Harry Bogan, my one-time heart's desire. Goodbye, dreams I knew that set the universe on fire. Don't cry to see me go, for though it hurts your ego, you'll carry on, Harry. Never worry, boy, you're tough. So long, got to go now. I've grown up and I know now love is not enough. Just to love is never enough.
Though fireworks start and in his heart he sings for me, he'll never slip and clip those apron strings for
Harry
me.
Bogan,
and someday soon he'll honeymoon where ocean winds are balmy, with Nina, Sue, or Sally, who reminds him of his mommy. So since I'll never own the stock, the only useful plan is keep him paying dividends.
Up.
Love is not
enough. Keep him laying golden eggs and grab them while I can.
Mr. Ash, may I ask you a personal question?
I love personal questions.
If you were me, what would you do next?
I'd let Teddy Ash buy you a drink. Hi, 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 baby. on the windy hill we'll kiss and sigh, baby, while our hearts stand still before we try, baby, climbing merrily.
1 minute, what's in it for me?
I'm just talking deep, 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 baby. Like waves on a shore, our love will sweep, baby, with a mighty roar before we leap. Dear baby, hit that chilly sea.
1 minute, what's in it for me?
You want the faintest idea of who'll pay the bill.
That's right.
Well, let's go get our feet wet and climb that windy hill.
Just to be clear, far, 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 baby, up in heaven's blue, we'll ride a star, baby, where each wish comes true till we depart, baby, aeronautically.
1 minute, what's in it?
1 minute, what's in it?
1 minute, what's in it for me?
High, high, high,
what's in it,
baby,
for me?
Deep, deep, deep,
what's in it,
baby,
for me?
Far, far,
what's
far,
in it,
baby,
what's in it for me?
Well, I hope you enjoyed looking back at Harold Rome's Broadway, all of the musicals and his entire career on Broadway, from the revue shows starting in the late 1930s all the way to 1950, and then his foray into writing book musicals, some beautiful music and some wonderful performers. And I hope you enjoyed listening to the new selections from the Revival cast recording, if I can get it free wholesale. I strongly encourage you to check it out. Fantastic cast. We didn't hear from Santino Fontana, who is the lead, or Judy Kuhn, who plays his mother in the show, but they are both on the album, obviously, both in fantastic voice. And we are going to close out with their Miss Marmalstein, who is played by Julia Lester, who you may know as Red Riding Hood from the most recent Broadway revival of Into the Woods, for which she got a Tony nomination. She's fantastic. And she was fantastic as Miss Marmalstein. Totally not doing Barbara Streisand at all, but playing Julia Lester as Miss Marmalstein. And she knocked it out of the park. But we're not going to hear her singing Miss Marmalstein. We're going to hear her and the cast with What Are They Doing to Us Now? I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Broadway Radio Show and join me again next week. Here's Julia and the cast.
As we get older, there's nothing surer. The rich get richer, the poor get poorer. Those small misfortunes all start to pile up, and it gets harder to keep a smile up. But we keep hoping, while old dreams linger, that we'll get lucky one fine day. Then once again fate gives us the finger. Once again, with a sigh, we look up to the sky with a quizzical eye and quietly say,
what are they doing to us now? What's the latest ruin to us now?
Suffering, naked, he's pushed out his new life to begin. Ain't enough the awkward way that he came in. Oh, and before he understands just why he's here, clop comes from the dock, a big smack of
clap